Well, China is weighing in and has been weighing in for about a week on U.S. lawmakers' failure to reach an agreement on the debt ceiling, and they're urging the Capitol Hill to come to an agreement quickly. China holds the most debt of the U.S. debt. They hold more than $1 trillion in treasury securities. Failure to reach a debt agreement would result in a credit downgrade for the U.S., and that would devalue China's holdings. So you can understand why they're concerned about it. We're joined now by Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
They're not only saying get your rears in gear and get an agreement on the debt ceiling, they've also given advice. They've said stop spending so much money on the military and spend more on your citizens. China getting a little more outspoken about giving advice to the United States.
Well, you know, they're sort of becoming like the activist investor in the U.S. You know, you often have activist investors in corporations who tell them what to do. That's China. And the reason they're being like this is they have a lot of money on the line in the U.S. It hasn't always been this way. It was so interesting. I went back and looked at the figures. And just in 2002, China only owned about $180 billion of U.S. treasuries. Might sound like a lot.
Is that all?
Well, yeah, but now they own over $1 trillion. Yeah. So the amount they've increased it just in a decade is massive. And they've done that for a few reasons. One of the reasons is because they've been buying U.S. dollars over a long period of time that helps keep their currency down in relation to the U.S., and then they reinvest that. And the other reason is they actually required for a long time Chinese banks, the local banks there, to turn over about a fifth of their deposits to Chinese National Bank, which then it reinvested in foreign assets and mostly in U.S. assets.
I see. So, I mean, but when you say that China is becoming an activist investor, is their only motive to protect their own investments?
That would be the main motive, you know, and actually...
So you're not going to bring us any conspiracy theories here?
Well, you know, there's a lot of conspiracy theories within China, actually. The politicians there face a lot of pressure. One of the most popular books in China in recent years is called Currency Wars, and it's kind of a conspiracy theory about how it says that politicians there were trying to make really bad decisions to make China fall in relation to the U.S., and they purposely wanted to put all this money in the U.S. because they were anti-China. It's really a conspiracy theory, but it was very popular there. And so the politicians in China are facing major heat from a surge of people there. And that's why they're trying to appear to be activists. They've said a lot of things within China about how they are very focused on making sure they protect these investments. So remember, their advice also has to do with posturing back home.
Well, you know, we spoke with the analyst for Moody's yesterday. And one of the things he said that I found interesting was he implied that even if they do reach an agreement on the debt ceiling in time, the fact that there's this kind of problems reaching an agreement in Washington, the fact that there's this much stalemate over such an important issue may already be giving analysts pause over how stable the U.S. credit rating should be.
Well, again, back to our corporate analogy with the activist investor, if you were invested in a corporation and you saw a management running the corporation that just couldn't get along, that just couldn't get anything done, you might sell out of that stock. And that's what you're starting to see these international investors and the rating agencies say about the management of the United States. You know, another interesting thing is that in addition to China holding all of this money, there's other countries that could be affected, like Israel and Egypt, because their own credit ratings are tightly linked to the U.S.'s rating, because America provides so much financial support to Israel and Egypt that if American debt is downgraded, you might see their debt, Israel's debt and Egypt's debt downgraded as well, because their backer, the U.S., has gone down. So that's part of the reason you see Israel giving this advice to the United States.
Well, we're getting into the last hours, and the president has given them 24 to 36 hours to reach a deal. We'll see if they make it in time. Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. And Louise, I don't know if you've played this game. We have Linda Fanton with us now, Director of Network Journalism and Innovation at American Public Media. It's less guitar hero and more budget hero. There's an online game now that's getting more traffic than maybe the 405 freeway in California. It allows users to play with the federal budget to see how changing in debt policies, national policies, and tax policies actually reaps rewards or deficits. Budgethero.org. It's the idea and the brainchild of Linda Fanton. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Celeste. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
This isn't a violent game, right, Linda?
Not yet.
But how exactly does it work?
So Budget Hero basically allows any citizen to kind of step in the role of a lawmaker. And the first thing you have to do when you play Budget Hero is you have to choose some badges, which represent, you know, what parts of government, what government services and functions are most important to you. So perhaps you're a small government person, so you would might choose that badge. You might think the environment, protecting the environment, is really important. So you choose badges, and then you're presented with policy options that are currently being debated in Congress and in the public square. And these policy options have all been scored by the Congressional Budget Office, so all the numbers are real. They've been vetted by independent think tanks and nonpartisan groups like the Concord Coalition, et cetera. And as you do this, you're basically forced to see the trade-offs that you make, and there's a skyline, if you will. The buildings represent different elements of the federal budget, and as you make your choices to, say, cut government or to invest more in certain aspects of government, you see what happens to not only different, you know, areas of the budget financially, but you also see, you know, what the effect of on GDP is. It also allows you to see at what point your budget goes bust.
Social security shrinking and schools
shrinking.
Yeah, Linda Fenton, Director of Network Journalism and Innovation at American Public Media. Have you played this or seen it, Louise, story?
I haven't, but it sounds very interesting. I'm going to check it out.
You know, it's funny, Linda, I actually played it, and I would imagine a legislator might use this themselves to try and help them make decisions. I mean, this is literally, you're not pulling punches here. This is to help people realize how complicated this process is.
Absolutely, and they get it. Believe me, we've heard from thousands and thousands of people since we launched this game in May 2008, and they have said that they've been willing to make trade-offs that were even in their not in their best interest personally. And many people told us they felt that every member of Congress should be required to play this game.
Well, we can't require them to play the game, but we can certainly recommend it. Linda Fenton, Director of Network Journalism at Innovation at American Public Media, the budgethero.org game is her brainchild. I highly recommend it. Louise, you're going to play it?
Yeah, and I'd love to see what the average person does, how it shakes out. Maybe the people in Congress would be interested to know what the typical user there comes up with.
Oh, that is interesting, too. We'll have to figure that out with Linda later. Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner at the New York Times. You can check out budgethero.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.